Glenn Frey. This is our Monday night conference line. And this evening, we're having technical difficulties. Sorry for being late, but I couldn't get onto the conference line. Our conference line number was jammed up. So if somebody is listening on the conference line, if they could, let's see, how could we do this? Put the microphone of their phone to the speaker of their computer, if your computer's on, and so that we can broadcast this to the conference line as well as over the internet. And I think that's the best I can do. I know that Daphne was going to be on this evening, and I was going to conference her in and to do a channeling, but I can't get through. So we're going to have to make do with what is. I'll tell you what, you people on VBS, wait 1 second. Let me give one more chance of seeing if I can open up the conference line number. And if not, I'm just going to wing it with myself. And I know everyone else will be listening. So just a moment.
Star at any time during the conference.
Hello, this is Wayne. Take your name. Could I have your name, please?
Hi, Wayne. I think I'm on. Okay.
Yes, you are.
Now, the question is, am I still on the internet? Anyone know?
I have no idea. Kathy, you know?
I'm not on, but I'll check it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's going to take a second.
I'm not at my computer.
You know what, the car? I want to call. Talk to me later. Come on. No. Hello, testing 1, 2.
3, 4.
Am I on?
You're on the call, yeah.
Am I on the internet?
I don't know. Kathy, check.
Thank you. Oh, okay, now we're on the internet. Is Daphne on the line?
Yes.
Daphne?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. All right. I think this will be the last weekend that we don't have technical difficulties because we just changed our plan so that I can call in before 6 o'clock and not get a huge, huge phone bill. So, thank you, everybody, for your patience, and I know that it's been a pain in the neck, and we're actually supposed to start this call on at 5 minutes to six. So this is, let me gain my footing here, because I've lost it, because I'm running around and got too many things unbalanced just before the call. So excuse me for that. And, whoa, okay, coming back into being centered. One of the things I was thinking of before the call is the concept of anchor points. and what we are anchored to. Now, as I've learned to understand it, anchor points are areas where our hologram connects into the physical and the non-physical world. Let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted.
And we all have anchor points. Most people have anchor points in the world. Their anchor points are their homes, their families, their wives, their children, their cities, their jobs, everything they find familiar. And the way that I think it works, and I share this because I'm just kind of an amateur at this, and I've had many, many, many conversations with these sources that are off the physical realm, so to speak, and that it's possible to have anchor points out of the physical realm as well as in the physical realm. And those of us that have been coming into this call on a regular basis are developing the experience of what it's like to have anchor points outside of this realm. And it's something that each of us has to test ourselves, because those points don't follow the normal rules. And it doesn't take away the anchor points you have in this realm. I don't think there's really a limit. And if we have a channeling later, they can explain more about this. I don't think there's a limit to how many anchor points one can have. In fact, every time we do something, we meet something, we sit in a coffee shop, our energy field is moving. And to whatever degree we can refer to that space as with a sense of security, then on some level, some of our energy is still attached to that space. Now, I think the way it might work is that when you have many, many anchor points in the physical world, and now this is speculation on my part, so go with me, and maybe they'll correct me later. But when you have many anchor points in the physical world, and no anchor points, there are not many anchor points outside of the physical world, then what happens is you have to come back into the world. You're pulled back into it by the very attachment to your anchor points. And when you start creating anchor points outside of the world, then when your physical body passes, you're not in an unfamiliar place. There's something familiar about where you go, because the anchor points that you established while you're in a body still exist when you die. So I believe on this line, and with the connections we're having with sources outside of this realm, we are creating anchor points that are outside of this realm. And with each other, we're creating anchor points with each other that are outside of this realm. So those of us that have been coming on the line regularly have begun to notice that there's something different in our space. There's a feeling of being part of something that sticks with you. There's a feeling of security, but it's not based on the things that we are normally establish our security with. It's not based on our homes, it's not based on our friends, but it's based on a space we're creating that is ethereal. And yet, we can keep referring back to that space and we're finding that it's there, and that we're creating that experience of oneness in that space. And, you know, as we create this space, then anyone that comes into it that is willing to let go a little bit can move in and experience it. I always assume that there's people that are maybe checking in for the first time on VBS, and if you're one of those people, you might want to know that what we have is a conference line. And this was an experiment on my part, started a couple of years ago, and it was an experiment based on the communications I was having with these two group souls, or they identified themselves as group souls, that were outside of this timeline or this dimension, and that were very big, billions of individual souls, and one was the Ra group, which was made up of graduates of this realm, beings that had gone through this realm and got off the wheel of reincarnation. And the other was the Elohim group, which is composed of beings that never came into this realm. And that throughout the history of mankind, there's this postulate that these two group souls have been very involved in attempts to uplift the vibration here. Because this realm got kind of flushed into a dark hole, and the beings here no longer remembered or had the reference points to know that they were not stuck here, potentially, and they could have anchor points from other realms that they could create, and it would be okay if this world was a paradise. But unfortunately for many, it's not a paradise, and many feel enslaved here for many, many lifetimes because there were other archetypal patterns where a hierarchy was established, and that also came from outside of this realm, but through negative sources, a hierarchy so that there was a slave class and an elite class. And the elite class would get the benefit of having slaves. And, of course, today, the structure is essentially based on money, where we see how there's folks at the top of the pyramid that are making millions of dollars a year, and even, you know, executives, this, that, old money, and then there's people at the bottom of the pyramid that are essentially slaves to the people at the top of the pyramid. Of course, that's not the way it's looked at, but ultimately that's the way it's working. And there are energetic patterns that have been designed to hold the system in check so that it's not easy to change this. Now, according to our channelings, and when I say our, this actually goes back to my book, the David Wilcott book, where the Ra group soul is talking, and the channelings through Daphne and Terry, that it seems as if we are in store for a huge economic decline. And ultimately, the structures that were created by money will fall apart, will no longer hold water in this realm. And that, now of course, anything that's a prediction for the future, I don't know if it's true until it happens. So when I share it, it's not that I want this to happen, but the one benefit of it happening is that there'll be a testing point where we all will be equal with respect to money. And in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the Ra group said, it's going to end up where we are ending up bartering. And they said, get a skill that you can barter that are important for other people so that you can trade for what you need. Now, I wrote that book in the year 2000, and it was not as evident then as it is now that how badly our systems are falling apart. And, of course, those of you who have been following the channelings, and that's the channelings of actually all three people that I'm directly involved with, and David Wilcock, those of you that are following those channelings, it's fairly consistent, you know, that we are in for a huge change. And aside from all our personal issues and all our personal challenges, I hope you all are psychologically preparing yourself for that so that when it does happen, you can say, oh, yes, I'm ready for this. And I don't know what being ready means, because for each person, being ready is going to be different. But the key is, however you're ready, it has to include staying out of fear, because fear is the one quality that keeps you bound to this realm. And, of course, you can't even be afraid that you're not going to be afraid, because that's probably a double-edged sword there. So part of this conference call is to create this group energy that has anchor points outside of this realm with the group souls that have been talking to us, in which case I feel there's the potential to stay in a lifted consciousness above the incidentals of this plane. Many times in the channelings, something that surprised me and something that I've learned to incorporate in my thinking, but at first it was, you know, a bit of a shock, and that is, from the point of view of these group souls and other timelines, this is just one episode in thousands for all of us, and that there is no death, and that we will continue, and that everything we've done in this life is just another passing through of this realm. And if we have anchor points outside of this realm, and if we are not afraid of death, then it gives a certain degree of freedom to do the best you can while you're here. And I think that if you can adopt that particular perspective, you will be in the position to handle everything that comes your way without going into terror or fear. And perhaps those things won't even happen. But it's a good idea to psychologically prepare yourself for whatever happens, so that if it does happen, you are ready. And you don't have to go into fear, because the one thing that's said over and over again is that fear is the one thing, it's the antithesis to love, it's the antithesis to oneness. Fear is the energy that creates separation. And separation creates all the things that it creates. And we are all in this realm, highly separated and contracted. Most of us. And that is the fall of this realm, that it's so hard to move into the experience of what we call the Christed consciousness. As you do it to the smallest of these, you do it to me, which means we're all one, that the Christ energy is everyone, and we are temporarily separated from all that is to have this experience in our individualized human bodies. And so part of my goal is to help people move from that state of feeling separated and individuated to where they can experience oneness. And it doesn't, I know that at different times I've said this and talked about this to people, and sometimes people think that oneness means being a huge glom and that your individuality disappears. And I don't think that's true. In fact, the people that have been the best representatives or the best catalysts of what we could call oneness or the Christed energy on this planet would also, in most cases, be considered the most individual, the most, they're usually heroes. We can look at a Martin Luther King and, who was an inspiration of creating the energy of oneness for millions and millions of people. Or we can look at Gandhi, who did the same thing. And I don't think anyone would look at those people and think that they were surrendering to some big glom of energy and lost their individuality. Because I don't believe the individuality is lost. In fact, the more you can move into the experience of oneness, the more you can experience love for the people around you, the more you can forgive people for their weaknesses and see their strengths. All of us have somebody in our lives that needs us, and many of us are rejecting the very person that is there for us, for our, how can I say, a chance to be of service. I remember in a question I asked Matthew early on in our connection, and I asked something about where support is supposed to come in to from what we're doing. And the answer was that when I did a talk or did a book signing or whatever, look for the person that hangs out afterwards and wants to talk to me and that has a connection, because those would be the people that would be supportive of this work. And that was a bit unexpected. And because oftentimes the person that might hang out afterwards seemed like the person that might, I hope none of you are people that hung out afterwards. Maybe you were, but and don't take that this applies to you. But sometimes the person that might hang out afterwards is the person that's tripping over themselves, or is awkward, or is a misfit, or is a wanderer who's alienated and has not resolved their alienation, and that it's easy to look at them and find everything wrong with them, and and then there's all the other people that are happy and happily married and going home to their wives and whatever, that just leave the room. They had a good time. They enjoyed themselves. And then there's the person that is not together on the surface, and that person needs something to put themselves together. And each of you probably has people around you you might see in a way, and those are the people that are coming towards you, that Spirit is giving you the opportunity to be of service. And if you find all their faults, if you find what's wrong with them, you will miss your own opportunity. Edgar Cayce said that you go to heaven on the wings of those who you serve. So part of uplifting yourself in this realm is, on one hand, to create the anchor points that are outside this realm, in the celestial realms, in other timelines that you can depend on. And the other is to build a foundation of people that you are serving, and helping. And, of course, when I say this, I have to add, it doesn't mean wearing your heart on your sleeve and being a fool. It takes a certain amount of wisdom to know when and how to help someone. And the first step is to never lose the focus of the beauty of a person. Whether you do anything with them or not, whether you extend a hand or not, learn to observe people with no judgment. Learn to observe them and see their beauty and see their divinity. There's not a person on this planet that is not walking in that divinity. And how you see them will amplify what they become to you. In other words, most people put out a field of signals, not just one thing, you know, but a field. And within that field, there's everything from the divine self to their kind of shadow side and their part of them that is, oh, a trap, that if you get hooked into it, you're going to want to pull out and run the other direction. So it's kind of like there's all these buttons in front of them, and which one are you going to relate to? When you have someone that forces you to see their shadow and relate to it, usually there's an aspect of you that's like them or that was like them. When you see that and you can't get your mind, then you are seeing the part of yourself in them. And you have an opportunity to forgive, to love them, in which case you are also healing the part of yourself that is projected by them. And you can look in your life about the most difficult circumstances, and you can understand that that person would not be in your life if there was not something for you to get out of it. Sometimes what you get to get out of it is learning the ability to see the higher part of that person. Sometimes what you're getting out of it is the discernment to know who you can help and who you can't. These are not easy things to know with your mind. These are things that have to come from your gut and from your instincts and from your intuition. Because if you try to make these decisions from your mind, like, oh, I'm supposed to be of service, I'm supposed to be nice, I'm supposed to be good, I have to see the best in everyone, those are nice ideas, but doing it is different than thinking it. And going from the place where you're thinking it to the place where you're doing it can involve a lot of mistakes. And that's okay, because it's far better to make mistakes than do nothing. Because if you're making mistakes, you're learning. One thing I learned a long time ago, or I said to myself, was there are many things that involve a certain level of risk. And I would ask myself, what's the best case scenario and what's the worst case scenario when I would take that risk? And if the worst case scenario was more than I could handle, then I would pass. But if it wasn't, it was worth taking the risk and give whatever was going to unfold the chance to unfold and learn the lesson. And sometimes things will come out exquisitely well in a relationship or a business circumstance, but it was not obvious that was going to happen right at the beginning. But I did say to myself, if this fails, I can lose this and I can handle this. And if lose, I'm just not regret it. I'm going to say that was my choice to take that risk. So, you may, and don't be afraid to be afraid to risk more than you can afford. And that could mean, actually, that emotional, on whatever level it is, evaluate your risk. But I know that I had a huge heartbreak, and they never would open up to anyone again. They didn't want to take a risk. They wanted to know that things would be perfect before they would take a chance. And those are the circumstances I'm talking about, because you then end up, they did looking for something perfect, but never find. On that note, I do have Daphne on the line. You're on, Daphne, let's see.
Yeah, I'm here.
Would you like to call in the light, and we'll see what who might want to come through and comment on the kind of stuff we're talking about or whatever is important to hear?
Sure. Is it better if I get off the speaker? Or is it better if... I'm on the speaker right now. Is it better if I get off the speaker?
No, very clear, so it's okay. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. Right now, we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of our universe to the center of our galaxy, through our bodies, and to the center of the Earth. And each of us, who free-willingly chooses to do so, is part of the grounding of this higher vibration, this new 4D vibration into the Earth's vibration. And we now ask to create a group energy amongst us all. And we invite the Elohim and Ra to join our energy field and be the anchor points for a moment, the reference points, if they go along with the terminology I'm using, and see what they have to share on what I've been talking about or anything they'd like to come up with. And on that note, I will turn it over to our source.
I just, this is the human me, Daphne, saying their last thing right now because they think it's funny how you call them they. But then they're not laughing at us. They just think it's funny because from our perception, we see them as separate from us. And from their perception, we are as cells in their body. We are as cells in their little toe or in their circulatory system. So they're kind of looking at us like children. It's with great love. So that's, let's see. We welcome you this evening, dear one. This is Ptah of the Central Galactic Council and of the emissaries of divine light, of consciousness. For you are indeed within a spiraling matrix of upgrading your ancestral, celestial, energetic photon light bodies into a higher calibrated awareness of what it means to become a more conscious, more cognitive part of the vast creation of all that is. You have touched on tonight a topic of vast importance because it has to do with a certain weaving of energetics from the physical to the non-physical, from the non-physical into the physical, thus braiding them inseparably. And knowing that one truly is a reflection of the other. Nothing exists here in the physical world which does not have its counterpart energetically in the unseen, etheric, higher vibrational worlds. Anchor points, focus, loci, these are nexi, next points, which can be physical, which can be non-physical, but nevertheless are a centralization, a focalization, an intensification of ideas, thought streams, intent, intensity of desire, emotion, emotion meaning energy and motion. The more motion, the more drive, the more thrust, the more that one rides a particular thought or a situation, the more quickly that can come about into the physical for precipitation, for manifestation, for good or for ill, depending on the nature of the idea or the thought. Therefore, know that because time is now accelerating, we are in the hyperbolic part of the curve, the exponential nonlinearity part of the curve, where we move from horizontal to almost straight up vertical. Your thoughts and the thoughts of everyone around you and the collective are not taking years, nor months, nor weeks to manifest. They are hitting you and coming back like boomerangs within days, hours, minutes even. Try and experiment with yourself. Try thinking very concretely of an image of something or someone and see how quickly some sign of that person or place or thing presents itself into your life in the form of a phone call, a visit, an email, a happenstance at the local cafe. It is a good self-testing, a litmus test of your own strength of thought. Thoughts are like radio waves. Once you send them out, you can't take them back. They just continue ad infinitum out into the cosmos. For those of you who saw the film Contact years ago, with the actress Jodie Foster. In the beginning scene are emanations of radio waves emanating first from the earliest transmissions of Morse code through transmissions of World Wars I and then II, the speeches of Hitler, Mussolini, Martin Luther King, JFK, Bobby Kennedy, Richard Nixon. They're all still traveling out into the cosmos. And this is what each of us do as well. We are transmitters as well as receivers. And because of the time and the special circumstance of Earth now, what we transmit is very, very crucial because the ethers are very, very sticky. By sticky, we mean ripe. We mean pregnant. We mean ready to burst forth in physicality with whatever we shoot out from our thoughts. It's a tricky balancing point because on the one hand, one does not want to repress that which must be expressed. On the other hand, one does not want to bring into manifestation one's greatest fears because it causes undue suffering. We must remember that wherever we have the most charge in our life, by charge we mean the most emotional, traumatic, upsetting kinds of responses held in our cellular memory, and for the most part these are unconscious. These are what we have come at this time especially to clear. This is the heaviest dross. This is the heaviest karma. This is the spin cycle in the cosmic washing machine, which throws off the heaviness of the liquid so that we may come out lighter and cleaner and clearer. This is our message to you this evening. We bid you love, peace, tranquility, and we would ask that you take time for yourself, minutes a day, to sit and give thanks and have gratitude, even for those most difficult situations, because they are allowing an opportunity for relief. If you look at the word relief, it is a new lease, a releasing, or a new welcoming of the life, of the life force into your circumstance, into your space. Blessings on this journey. We leave you in peace. Godspeed. Adonai. Sabaoth. Om. Shanti. Shanti.
Thank you. Lapata was saying, sharing that. I was thinking of something that happened to me over the weekend, which was exactly what he, now I'm forever The part of myself, which is the pata, which is the part of the Ra group, which we're all connected with. Okay. Now, I can never say they or he anymore, but I probably will. But in any case, there was a woman...
It's just a nomenclature thing.
I know. You have to figure out some way to talk about it. There was a woman who I had met maybe 3 years ago when David Wilcock and I had given a talk at the Conscious Living Expo in Los Angeles. And she lives in Atlanta, and she's a writer, and she's read my book, and we had a conversation, and while we were talking, her name was, McKenna. I forget her first name. And
Trisha
McKenna, right. And I was thinking, while we were talking, of another person I know in Atlanta, who is has a show on BBS Radio, and it just crossed my mind. I was thinking of her because they're both in Atlanta, and they both know each other. And I haven't spoken or heard from her for probably at least a year. And today I got an email from her. "Wynn, I was just thinking about you. How are you doing?" And that's just a very easy example of that, of what we're talking about. And, you know, just going to a big book fair, it's like I'm walking into the holograms of so many different people, so many different companies. And for those of you that want something to happen in your life, different than it's happening, you must go where the holograms exist for what you want to happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. You've got to absorb the energies. Everything here has energy attached to it. And you have to put your physical body or your ears or whatever into the space of the hologram where something's happening. So then your high self and that hologram can interface so that what you want to happen might happen for you, whether it's a business, a lover, a job, an opportunity to be of service. And, of course, just being on this call is exposing yourself to a hologram, and I thank everybody who's here. And you know what? It's time to say goodbye to our BBS audience. If you like the energy on this line, we're doing conference calls every night of the week. This is the only one that's on BBS Radio. If you go to dimensional-shift.org, you'll have some follow-ups on how to find our other conference calls. And the good news about these calls is that if you're going into a place where you're worried about what's happening in the world, there is an energy here which you can connect with. It'll help stabilize you and take your fear away and find friends that are operating at a higher matrix than maybe the ones that are in your life right now. So God bless you all, and we'll say good night to BBS. And we'll continue the conference call, and we'll do our calling in a variety. And, of course, I have no idea who's on the line.